Hello, everyone. Ready for the next session? Hello. What a fantastic time we had earlier. And we heard such great stories and encouragements for all of us from the Word of God and from our fellowship lives. It's such an encouragement to see how God really works in our lives. And there are times in our lives, you know, for crying, for laughing. But I think today God wants a time for us to be encouraged. Encouraged from one another and encouraged from the Word of God. So I thought today to look at some examples in the Bible, and I stopped at Daniel. Such an encouragement, this book of Daniel. Daniel and his four friends, you know, they have a bit weird names, just like mine. So I just read them once, and then I'm going to refer to Daniel and his three friends. So his three friends were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. These four young people are such an encouragement for us today. If we read the book of Daniel and if we see what they have been through, it's such an encouragement for us to take advice from them and from their life. And the message today is about when we are going through difficult times, when we are going through hard times, troubled times. And today in society, so many bad news, so much struggle, especially for the younger generation, but for all of us, so many temptations, so many choices. And sometimes you could struggle. You could struggle to see the truth. You could struggle to follow the Lord. You could struggle with questions. You could struggle with difficulties and different circumstances. But today from the Word of God, we will learn how to be encouraged. And we will learn a few principles from the life of Daniel and his friends. What to do when life strikes us. What to do when difficult times, when we are struggling with different issues. And the first thing we see in the life of Daniel and his friends, just a short recap. I know you're familiar with this book. I know you're familiar with Daniel and his friends. So what happened, as you know, they were taken by the Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. They were taken from their country, from Israel, captive, slaves, basically. And they were taken from their homes, from their families, as captives in Babylon. Hard times, difficult times, isn't it? And those four people were struggling with life-threatening events, if you like. A grumpy king, you know, a people very powerful in those times. And what did they do to overcome those difficult moments? And we look at those few principles in their life. And the first one is that they stayed determined. Daniel and his friends were determined to follow the Lord no matter what. And this is such a powerful message for us. You know, even when their life was threatened, even when they were about to lose their freedom, and they lost their freedom, when their life was threatened, they stayed determined. And this is a message for us today. Wherever life is difficult, we should choose today to stay determined, right? In verse 8, chapter 1, it says here, but Daniel decided to stay determined. There is a different translation here. It says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to define himself this way. It seems for us a minor thing, you know, just not to eat some sort of food. And I have to be honest, for me, you know, food, it's one of my weaknesses. When I first read this passage, my first thought, you know, was what kind of food they refuse to eat. Well, you know, I'll have it. So I really appreciate people that are determined, that know themselves, they know their weaknesses, they know their personalities, they know what they are struggling with, and they make a plan and they say, you know what, in these issues, in this part of my life, I will stay determined. And they choose not to eat the food that they're not, you know, they were not permitted to eat, or they were not willing to eat. It's a minor thing for us, but I think God appreciates our heart and our determination. Even in the church life, we may think, oh, it's a minor thing I'm doing, you know, it's a minor thing I'm singing a song, or it's a minor thing I'm taking communion or helping someone, but actually God appreciates every little things in our life, every determination, every thought of being a testimony for Him, every little help, every prayer that we do for someone, God really appreciates that. And we see in Daniel's life, God's answers. And it's amazing. When I read this, it says, but Daniel decided to stay determined. And what God did in verse, we read this in verse 9. It says, now God has caused. You know, so when you are determined to do something, God will cause something to happen. And God says here, had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. Daniel was determined to stay still, stay put, stay determined, stay focused. And God has caused something. And then in verse 17, in the same chapter, he says, to these young four men, God gave. So God had caused something, and then God gave something. When we are determined, when we are decided with our life, no matter what, no matter the struggle. And I don't know what we are going through at the moment. It could be a health issue. It could be some family issues. It could be anything. Whatever we are going through, God's message today for us is stand still. Stand still. You know, things can change in our life. Things can become dangerous in our life. But our faith should stay still and should not change. Our faith should not change depending on the circumstances. And what happens, it's amazing, because when we stand still, our faith causes things to change around us. And you've noticed perhaps even the strongest river doesn't have a straight line. Even the strongest river goes around obstacles. And when the water meets something, firm, like a rock, the water would go around us, around that rock. It's the same with our faith. When we stand still, God will work in our life and will find a way to move our lives towards a better thing. And it's amazing. We have so many examples. If we think of Joshua in the Old Testament, you may remember his decision, his determination. In chapter 24, verse 15, says, Joshua said, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Even though around him many people choose different ways, choose to do different things, he was determined, for me and my household, I will serve the Lord. And also we have another example in Ruth. You may remember the book of Ruth, such a wonderful woman, a woman of God. And when life was so tough for them, when Naomi lost her husband and her two sons, and she said to her daughter-in-law, it's no point to stay with me, just go away, mind your business. But Ruth said to Naomi, Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Wherever you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. What a determination. You know, no matter how tough the life becomes in our times, we should stand still. And such an encouragement from Alan. I don't know Alan personally, but I think God wants to tell us something today and reminds us the scripture. You know, there is a verse saying that it is more important the ending of a life, the ending of an event, than the beginning. And we see this in our brother life. It's so important how we will end our lives. I mean, if we look around us, the society, Hollywood, such successful singers and actors and what have you, you know, they have their moment, they have their present, fantastic. If you look back in history, such success. But then if you look at the end of their life, it's so sad. If you look at dictators that they thought, you know, they're going to conquer Europe in the Second World War and whatever. What was the ending of their life? It was nothing. It was nothing. Because without God, our success is just, you know, like a vapor. It's something going on so quickly. But when you look at people like Alan or people like in the scripture, like Daniel or Joseph, you know, when you see their ending, that is such an encouragement. We should stay still. Even though life may be difficult, if we may struggle in a hospital bed for a while, we should stand still. And this is one of the principles today for us this morning. Whatever happens, stand still. And as I say, I admire people who make a plan in their life. And the second thought for me today is, beside being determined, is for us to be courageous, have the courage to follow God, no matter what's happening in your life. And I remember a friend of mine, a brother, we went to visit a church, and they served communion. And this brother of mine, we were in an association then, and we went to testify about God in our lives. But he whispered in my ear, and he said, "Would you test the cup for me? If it's wine, I'm not having it because I had some alcohol issues, so I'm not going to touch the cup." And I thought, to my mind, what a courageous man. You know, he knew his weaknesses, he knew his issues, and in that moment, he had the courage to whisper in my ear and said, "You know what, can you taste it for me? If it's wine, I'm not going to take it because I know my weaknesses. I know I'm weak in this area, so I don't want to take this, you know." So this is what God teaches us today and encourage us to do. Be courageous. Don't be ashamed, you know, to affirm who you are, to affirm our weaknesses. It's such a powerful example for us. And there is a verse, such a nice verse in 1 Samuel 9, chapter 27. God says, "Stand still for a while. Stand still, and I will show you the word of God." So for us today is, whenever we encounter some difficult times, don't rush, don't panic. You know, when we hear about a larger invoice than we normally used to in our lives, we just go in panic. I had some issues in my car. I went in panic, ringing friends and stuff. What Daniel did when life was difficult, they just stand still and they were courageous. If we look in chapter 3 and then verses 1, 13, 14, when, you know, people were sort of, it was a law to worship a golden image of Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel's friend said, "We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that." And they've basically had the courage to confront the emperor. And let's read a few verses. It says in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their new names, replied to the king and said, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown in this blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." What an amazing statement, and what courage they had. And you know, this is the difference between, in a way I was thinking, between the prosperity gospel, you know, who says, "Oh, God will give you whatever you're going to ask for, nice jobs, fine cars, and happy life." But they forget to mention this last bit. Well, these friends of Daniel said, "You know, but even if God will not deliver us from there, we're still not going to worship other gods." So, you know, sometimes people are forgetting this last bit. Even if God has other plans with us, we will still have the courage to stand still and wait for his deliverance. And it's amazing. You hear people today say, you know, it's so much suffering in the world, so many people are dying without guilt and so on. But actually, if you read the scripture, God has an answer for all those problems. All we need is to believe in them, to have faith, you know, because in front of death, God says, "Well, actually, I sent my son for you to have eternal life." In front of sickness, God's promises, you know, in the new heaven, in the new earth, the new world that he will be creating, there's not going to be, you know, crying and suffering and nothing. So we have to believe those things and have faith in those. It's not that God didn't provide an answer. It's about us if we believe those statements and those promises. And you know, it's so easy to get discouraged. Whatever you are determined to do something, you know, people around you say, "Oh, come on, are you serious? You know, you go to church, you say that, you say this." And it's so easy to be discouraged. And there is a funny story, perhaps you heard that before. It says, like, a few old ladies, they set up a charity to raise some money for a good cause. And they said, "You know what, we're going to go and walk up of that mountain for the people to donate money for our cause." And people start laughing. "What do you mean? How are you going to climb that mountain. Don't you look at you? You know, you're quite old. You can't really do this objective. You can't fulfill it. And people are laughing. But they started the race. They started, you know, to go up the mountain. And one by one, those ladies listened to, the crowd mocking them and laughing. They gave up one after another. But only one lady, she just kept going, and she just kept going, despite the rumors, despite the laughing. And she did it. She climbed the mountain. And at the end, people say, how is that possible? How could she, be so resilient? And they found out that that lady was deaf. So she couldn't hear, the crowd rumors, the crowd's laughing. And I think sometimes in our lives, we should not listen to what other people are saying, to what your colleagues are saying. Oh, you're still waiting for God to give you something. You're still waiting for that. But it's such an encouragement. For instance, if we look in Joseph's life in the Old Testament, do you think he prayed in the prison to become a prime minister, the second in command after Pharaoh? No, I think he prayed for, go back to his mommy, go back to his house, nice place, comfy coat, colored coat. I think that's what he was praying for in the prison. But God gave him something better. God raised him up to be the second in command after Pharaoh, and he basically saved his nation. So, sometimes we can pray for things and we can think, oh, this is better for me. This is what I want. And God says, no, stay still. Stay put. Be courageous. Be courageous. I have something better for you. Something better for you. And sometimes we can see God's work at the end of a challenge. After a while, after a few years, maybe. We're not going to see God's work in an instance as we would prefer. So by looking at these examples, we need to remember God has better plans for us. If you look even in Apostle Paul's life, it's amazing. He, through his hands, God did miracles and performed healings. If you look in Acts. And then he prayed God and said, if you could take this pain, whatever it was a thorn, it was something in his life, maybe a health issue or something. And he prayed to God to take that out from him. And God said, no. My grace is enough for you because my power is made stronger in your weaknesses. You see, this is God's word for us today. Stand still. Be courageous. No matter what you're going through, perhaps a relationship issue. And people, human nature, it's so easy to give up. You have an issue with your spouse, with your friends, with your mates at work, and you say, I give up. I'm changing my workplace. I'm going to, find another partner whatsoever. So easy to give up. But actually, God gives us the blessing sometimes when you stand still. Wait for God's help and support. That's the message for us today. And when you teach a child to ride a bike, well, I teach three of mine. I still have one to teach. But it's so funny because they're so confident when they have those little bikes. I've got one from Ben. Thank you very much. Thank you. With those stabilizers, right? And they go so quickly in the park and so happy, woo! And then at some point you say, I need you to properly teach you to ride a bike. And you take those stabilizers off, right? And so much crying and so much, what did you do? You're a criminal. You broke my bike. I heard that before. Right, Yon? Thank you. So it's so much pain and so much suffering and so much distress you cause them. But then after a while, after you break your back, holding the bike, they will finally understand what it is to ride a bike, and they will never forget it, And that's what God does in our lives sometimes. He has to take off our stabilizers, He has to take off something. He has to create something in our life to just, wake us up and say, Jude, without me, you can't do nothing. You can't do anything. Without me, you can't reach your target. Without me, you're alone. Why should you be alone when I want to teach you so many good things? And, looking at Daniel and so many young people today, Daniel was out of his family, out of his country. He could have done whatever he wanted to, And that's the true faith. When you choose to follow God, because it's your own choice, not because you're in a Sunday nice event here with friends, with Ben, the pastors here, friends and sisters and brothers. The true faith is when you're alone out in the world, you and God, you and other people. That's the true faith. When you choose to follow God because it's your choice, because you love Him, because you found Him, and because you understand that God has a better plan. So for us today, it's such an encouragement. If you look at chapter 10 in Daniel, verse 11, it's amazing how God called him at the end of his life. And I'm pretty sure, and this is the encouragement for us today, in the same way God called us today. And it says here, I'm going to read this translation because it's lovely. In English Standard Version says, in Daniel chapter 10, verse 11, "Oh man," God says to Daniel, "O man greatly loved, fear not, peace be with you. O man greatly loved." By who? By God. You see, today, the same way God is telling you, "O man, O woman, greatly loved by God. O Nerja, O Ammon, O Ben, O whatever our name is, put your name in that word there. And says, greatly loved by God." Such an encouragement, isn't it? No matter what you're going through, today is the day of encouragement. Today is the day when God tells you, stand still. I'm at work in your life. And we've seen so many testimonies here in this church and through other Christians, you know, when you stand still, God has a better plan for you. God has a day for you when you can praise Him for what He has done. Go quickly through other about three principles, because it's amazing what Daniel and his friend does when another issue strikes, another trouble comes along, and it's the king's dream, as you may remember. Yeah, so in that occasion, as I said, we start to panic, we start to do something. What Daniel does? Daniel stays in prayer with his friends. His first reaction is to go around to his friends and say, "Do you know what? There is another thing coming. Look, there's the king dreams. He doesn't even tell us the dream. He start killing all those people, wise people in his kingdom. So let's pray. Let's pray." This is another example for us, an encouragement. Whenever we're going through tough times, prayer is the key. And I'm so encouraged when I get those emails from Ben or Jackie, pray for this issue, pray for that, pray for this. I could pray on my traveling by train in the morning or in the afternoon, and you feel part of something. You feel part of something greater. So whatever you're going through, whatever we have tougher times in our lives, just share that with the church, with a group of friends if you don't want to share with someone. But this is what Daniel did. He said, "Prayed for mercy from the God of heaven." And this is another example in Daniel's life. He didn't thought he has all the answers. He didn't thought, God loves me, God will give me the answer. No, he relied on someone in his troubles. He relied on someone else when he went through difficult times. And that's what we should be doing. He was the right man in the right place at the right time. And that's what God called us to be, the right man, the right person at the right time. And then another minor thing that I've discovered in chapter 2, verse 24, is that when we have tougher times in our lives, I like the reaction of Daniel after he received the answer from God. One of his first reactions were to go to Arioch, so he was the person in charge, appointed to execute the wise men. And Daniel went to that person and says, "Do not execute the wise man of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him." So his first concern, that was another principle I wanted to point out this morning. His first concern was other people as well, not just himself. Not those people didn't even have his religion, his views, his beliefs. But when you love God, you love other people. When you love God, you love other individuals. And whatever you're going through, tougher times, difficult situations, that is with a purpose, so we can encourage others that are going through the same issues as you. And one of the final principles is that after Daniel receives the answer from God, I like so much what he does. In chapter 2, verse 19, during the night, God gives him the interpretation of the dream and the dream himself. And his first reaction, instead of going around, you know, jumping of joy and saying, oh, I've got it. I'm the wise man. I've got the deliverance. He takes the time to give glory back to God. And actually, I liked how Alan ended his interview. He said, all the glory is to God. And that's true. And that's so true. That's what we should do in our lives. Whatever there is a word, whatever there is an answer. And even if there isn't an answer, as we've seen in Daniel's and his friend's life, even though God may not have an answer now or as we wish, we should still give God back his glory. And his answer is amazing. And he says in Daniel chapter 2, starting with verse 19, during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. So he doesn't rush. He just takes that time to give glory back to God for what God has done in his life. And then the last thing for us this morning is to, after God does something in our lives, is go out and be a testimony for what God did in our lives. And that's the last thing, and I think it's so important. Because if we read Daniel chapter 2, verses 26 and 27, the first things he said to the king, instead of rushing with the interpretation and you know, boasting himself with the knowledge, he takes the time, and in the first verse, he actually gives a testimony about God. And he says, Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the vision that passed through your mind as you were lying in the bed are this. So he starts by saying, you know what? Before I'm telling you what I have to say, before I'm going to help you out, before I'm going to, give you an advice, I'm going to tell you something about my God. I'm going to tell you something about what God did in my life. And that's such a good example for us. Whenever we are going through tougher times or difficulties or struggles, we should give that testimony to other people and say, you know, even if I'm going through this, I know God is with me. Even if I went through these troubles, I knew God was at my right hand. And it's such an amazing encouragement today. You know, whatever we're going through, as Daniel put it here, there is no doctor, there is no psychologist, there is no, you know, man that could deliver you from whatever you're going through. But there is a God who sent his son upon a cross, who take upon him all our sorrows, all our sins, all our pain. He took it upon himself on the cross. And what a message that is. And he, as for Daniel, he is the one who can deliver. He's the one who can answer. He's the one who can show us the right direction, the right path. And for us, it's just to listen and to follow. Amen. God bless us all. If Ben would like to end it with a prayer, that would be great. Thank you.
Let's pray. Father God, this morning has been a morning of tremendous encouragement. And that encouragement stems from a real depth of what you're doing in people's lives. And we just want to thank you and praise you. We thank you and praise you for the testimony that we have heard. We thank you and we praise you for the deep teaching that we've received. We want to thank you and praise you for the way that you've blessed us as a community and as individuals. And Lord, we want to grasp hold of the message that is being given, that our lives are indeed a testimony, that as we stand firm in you and as we be courageous in you and as we share our testimonies, Lord, we want people to know that you are the amazing God that you are. And so we give you glory and we choose to give you glory in the world around us. We want to be a light for you in this dark world. So, Lord, send us out, bless us, encourage us even more, and fill us with that courage in order to stand firm in whatever situation we find ourselves in. And we pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a fantastic week, and we'll see you next Sunday.